60s, we're starting to slide into
it. I mean, you definitely couldn't
longer.
Vote. All three of us wouldn't have been able to vote without issues and problems, even if it was on the books. So clearly, that same type of tactic or set of tactics being used now. Because it's not just about showing up, privatizing, militarizing. It's about what happens, that fear.
Yep.
Right? Either you kowtow, you accept, or you pay the piper. We're not in the 60s anymore. I think some people are not going to go quietly. And that's why they're seeking to employ the Insurrection Act or whatever.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind. You're the key to my peace of mind. You make me feel.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
This program will inspire you, inform you, feed you healthy recipes, engage you politically, and enlighten you spiritually.
Good evening. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and we're streaming online at kfai.org. And this is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasha.
Did you know that one out of every two people could be diagnosed with cancer these days? These statistics are not looking good, but there are things that we can do that work beautifully alongside Western medicine. Some of the things that I have done that have helped me reclaim my health have been, number one, turkey tail mushroom. You can find turkey tail in capsule or in powder form. You can put the powder right in your smoothie and you won't taste a thing. Take that turkey tail 2 to 3 times a day if you want to reclaim your health. Number two, meditation and visualization. Go within, feel your inside. Create a beautiful, lush garden in your mind that you can go to recharge and replenish your being. This is so important and is one of the practices that I did. Number three, broccoli extract. You can find broccoli sprouts in the produce section. Go look for the alfalfa sprouts. They'll be right there. You can also order the seeds online and make your own broccoli sprouts, or go to your health food store and look for the extract in liquid form called sulforaphane. This will bust that cancer in the balls and send it running.
We were just listening to our guest this evening on Health Notes, strategies that she used as a part of the recovery of her cancer journey. We're talking with Annette Hennekens-Sklenar, and we're talking about her incredible cancer journey. I was looking at your website, Healing with Annette. There's something that you said that I think most people would be very surprised about in terms of one out of two people be diagnosed with cancer. Say something more about that. That seems a little horrifying.
It is horrifying. Yeah, those statistics are from cancer.org, and it's about 50% likelihood for women, 40% likelihood for men these days. Those are scary statistics. I feel a responsibility to share all the ways that we can heal because of these numbers.
I heard that the fastest growing population for cancer is between the ages of 30 and 50.
Yeah.
Seems like cancer and the flu have a lot in common in the fact that they're becoming very common. Tell us about your cancer journey.
I was diagnosed in January of 2020, right before the COVID pandemic shut us all down and locked us in. It was horrifying. I worked as a FMLA coordinator with the state of Minnesota. When I was diagnosed, I knew what I needed to do with regards to the paperwork. Luckily, the state of Minnesota is a wonderful employer. I can't say enough great things about them. They really took care of me. But I had to walk away from that position. I couldn't work because of all the appointments, all the tests, the shock and the horror of it all, the grief. That first year was hell. I had weekly Taxol for almost 7 months. And that's the chemo drug that makes your hair fall out and it's really hard on the GI tract. Had a recurrence that led me to Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Thank God for that, because that's where my care really started to take a turn for the better. Mayo Clinic put me on a trial that was hellish, but I got through it. And I got on the other side of that and learned how to starve the cancer using supplements and dietary changes. Started acupuncture that first year. Discovered that that's really helpful with side effects like the numbness, the neuropathy in the hands and the feet, and the nausea, and the hot flashes, and just all the miserable side effects that come with chemo. In 2023, that's when I discovered the book Grow a New Body by Dr. Alberto Valodo. I did a training with him. He has a light body school through the Four Winds, and we talked about that book, the supplements that are used. He's got a couple of different protocols, the everyday supplements and then the detox. I was keto for probably 2 years, which I think is too long.
Explain to our listeners, what is keto?
Yeah, so I limited the carbs. I worked with a nutritionist and she advised that I limit the carbs to a third of a cup to half a cup per meal or snack. So what does that look like? Half an apple instead of the whole thing. She was really militant about not eating the whole banana because there's a lot of sugar in bananas. I didn't eat a lot of fruit during that period of time. That was hard. I felt like I lived in a different world. And going off of bread, you know, wheat products, going gluten-free. I don't think I was a lot of fun that first year that I was gluten-free, but I've learned new ways that we can eat. You know, having grown up in the Midwest where meat and potatoes is like, that's the meal, right? I've learned to diversify my plate by adding lots of vegetables, lots of cruciferous, and leaning into the vegetables. I did go vegetarian that first year in 2020 because of the changes that happened in my taste. And then I ended up going whole food plant-based after that, so I wasn't eating any dairy, no eggs. And I was just in a state of constant brain fog. And one day I put tuna on my salad. And instantly the brain fog lifted and I realized, I need more protein than I'm getting. And that's when I started to work with a nutritionist who got me on the track of limiting the carbs and, you know, big salads, lots of greens every day, eating mushrooms. I'm sure you've heard of the G-bomb by Dr. Furlman. I think greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, and berries, trying to eat those every day, knowing those are just superfoods for our body. I really looked at every meal as life or death. Now that I'm 2.5 years, no evidence of disease, I feel that I can put some distance between that myself and that perspective, and I can eat more in a more balanced way. I've leaned back in towards the middle way. I'm not so militant about the carbs, but I'm still careful.
One thing that you talk about on your website is the importance of eliminating and looking at the trauma in our bodies.
Yes.
Could you talk to us about that?
Yeah. In my studies, I found a connection between childhood developmental trauma and cancer later in life. There's an ACE study out there you can research. If you just search ACE test, you'll find the ACE test that you can take, aces2high.org. When a person has a certain amount of traumatic events early in their life, in those developmental years, that creates dissonance in the nervous system. So the nervous system can never regulate itself. I had an inability to handle stress all of my life, Kinshasa. It's only been in the last 5 years that I've been able to manage my stress because of learning this connection and realizing, oh, my container has been so small, I couldn't cope with the stress. I've learned that what we look at, what we label as a mental diagnosis, is actually, it's a coping mechanism. Van der Kolk talks about that in his book, The Body Keeps the Score. When we have childhood trauma, we have a greater likelihood to have this trauma, this cancer later in life. And the nervous system dysregulation can be addressed through holistic practices like meditation, mindfulness, connecting with friends and family, really trusting the process of the journey to bring a person to their greatest good. This whole time, I have just felt this nudge to explore this or that, and it has brought me to where I am. It's brought me through these studies.
There's something that you said about not being able to handle stress until a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So what does that look like, not being able to handle stress?
Oh, I was in a state of hypervigilance, hyperarousal, where I couldn't calm down. And so that affected my sleep. That affected my ability to focus and concentrate. To hear that quiet, still, small voice within, the volume was turned up real loud on all the tapes that were going in my mind, but I couldn't hear my inner guidance. That's a result of hyperregulation, of being in a highly activated nervous state.
So were you like that all the time?
Oh, I was. Yeah.
Did you self-medicate? Did you do things?
Yeah, I coped with wine. I coped with my stress with wine.
I think that the Alcohol Association really made it easy for, especially for women, to drink a lot of wine when they came up with that foolish study that said people should drink red wine every day in order to get the resveratrol. Women were drinking bottles of wine. I know that I had a client who was saying, well, I drink a bottle of wine every night. I said, well, huh. When I was a kid, they used to call you guys winos. For some reason, she didn't find that very amusing. But I think that one of the most interesting things to me about studies, if I learned nothing else in grad school, was that in statistics, I learned that I asked the question and I could manipulate it to be anything that I wanted it to be. Whoever is sponsoring the study is the one that's releasing it to the press, as if that was the truth somehow. So much has come out about alcohol, and any amounts of alcohol are just unhealthy. It's just not good for you.
all of the chemicals, et cetera, that they put in it, as well as alcohol itself, is so incredibly interesting. So in terms of dealing with the stress, mindfulness, meditation ended up being the tools that you used to...
Yeah, time in nature, really devoting as much time as I could to nature. My husband made arrangements for us to go camping, you know, so we could get out of the city. And that was really important for my healing journey. Time in nature was so critical.
Thank you. Support for KFAI comes from The Dakota, presenting Carolyn Wonderland, Sunday, July 13th. Carolyn Wonderland plays blues, Americana, and alt-country, mixed with heavy doses of Tex-Mex and rock and roll. She is distinguished for being John Mayall's only female lead guitarist, a member of the Austin Music Hall of Fame, and three-time nominee for the Blues Foundation's Blues Music Awards. Rockandbluesmuse.com calls her latest release, Truth Is, a fiery combination of confidence, poise, and gutsy bluster. More information for Carolyn Wonderland at The Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking about healing, really important healing. I think that when we hear the word cancer, we automatically see it as that we're going to die, and it ain't necessarily so. And there's a lot that we can do and put in our hands in terms of our healing. And that's what Annette Hennekins Sklenar is talking to us about this evening. We're talking about her healing journey, and her website is healingwithannette.org. And how did you know that there was something that was off in your body?
When all the shit went down with George Floyd, I was stuck in our condo. I couldn't do anything. I had chemo-related fatigue and brain fog, and just I was in like living in jello. I was so tired, and the brain fog made it impossible for me to think clearly and to find my agency, to know that I could take action was not even a possibility because I was so debilitated from that weekly Taxol that first year in 2020. I had to go through land and water physical therapy to regain strength. I would drop things just in the kitchen because of the weakness that developed in my hands. Yeah.
And even before that, before you were diagnosed, what was going on?
Oh, yes. Before I was diagnosed, I had nipple discharge that fall of 2019, and I was too busy at work to go have it looked at because it must have been July, August, because that was our busy time of year with the state of Minnesota Department of Human Services. So I ignored my health, and I put off my mammogram until January. And so when I went in for the mammogram, you know, that's when I found out it was metastatic. Yeah, and I did a Google search. I did a Google search on nipple discharge. Don't do that. Go get a mammogram, please.
So there wasn't any pain?
There wasn't. Well, there was pain. Yeah. Yeah, there was pain, but I ignored it. I ignored the pain.
What happens emotionally?
Oh, so devastating. I think I cried, you know, for days, for weeks. I just lived in this. I wallowed, quite honestly. I wallowed in the diagnosis, and I really took it seriously. Yeah. But even in the beginning, I decided I wanted to ace cancer school. I tried to look at it as another learning opportunity and an opportunity to grow and evolve. And even though I thought I ate healthy, I learned a lot about nutrition that I didn't know. That has really helped. I think that's part of what helped me starve the cancer, was leaning into the cruciferous vegetables and learning about the supplements and limiting the carbs to a third of a cup to half a cup per meal. Yeah.
What did the allopathic community say about nutrition and cancer?
Cancer is fed by our standard American diet. The white sugar, the white flour, anything, you know, the white rice, all of that converts to sugar in our bloodstream, which feeds the cancer. There's the Warburg effect that talks about what we eat. The cancer builds like the scaffolding
And then if we're eating a lot of the standard American diet, what we're eating is actually feeding that scaffolding, making the cancer even stronger in our body. But when we go low carb, those cancer cells don't get the sugar that they need to continue to proliferate and grow. So limiting the carbs actually helps starve the cancer and start that, I believe it's called apoptosis, where the cancer cells die.
Does the chemo deplete your energy, and do you need to eat more? Do you eat less? Yeah. How does that feel internally?
Yeah, that's really hard to navigate. It does actually require that a person eat more. In the detox program, as detailed in the book Grow a New Body, Dr. Alberto Velotto talks about limiting protein. And I've worked with a nutritionist, and I worked with the Mayo Clinic Integrative Care team in the oncology department down in Rochester. And they both told me that, you know, if I need more protein, even during a detox, that's okay. Because not only is my body using the protein that I'm eating to regenerate the muscles, but I'm also trying to regrow muscle and maintain muscle. And that's why we need the protein. Our bodies actually need more fuel. We need to be even more diligent about what we're putting in our body and make sure it's whole food, real food, not so much the processed food, because our body needs that nutrients. That's what's going to help our cells regenerate and recover.
So it doesn't make any difference what kind of protein it is?
My experience has been I've been eating animal protein for the last 2.5 years, and I was able to starve the cancer even eating animal protein. I really didn't want to eat animal protein. I was a vegetarian even as a teenager, but I've just learned that my body functions better with protein.
I'm wondering if someone was using plant-based proteins, would they have the same success?
Yeah, it's possible. We're all different. You know, some people can get by without animal protein. So I imagine they could have the same, if not better, success than I've had.
Obviously, things changed for you in terms of what your mission has been since you have been in remission from the cancer. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Well, cancer, it's like the best, worst thing that ever happened to me. It really helped me come back home to myself. I didn't realize I wasn't fully embodied in my body. And because I wasn't fully embodied, I wasn't able to process my emotions. I just pushed them down. Now that I'm able to be more present with myself, I can hold space for those difficult emotions and hold space for joy and possibility at the same time. And I'm no longer looking at what I've lost, but I'm looking at what I'm creating, because I have 20 plus years working in healthcare and human resources. And now I can use that experience in a new way to help people navigate the healthcare system, to approach their journey in a way that they could thrive and not just survive, find a way back to what I like to call whole fullness, where we're fully in ourselves and we're whole again.
Share with us about the energy work and your energy training.
Well, in 2023, I did the 6-month training with the Four Winds. And I actually did that right in the middle of a 2-year medicine wheel training that took place 2 weekends a year with Coco Elwood out of Minneapolis. That was really intense. Immediately, it provided me with such a shift in my perspective and my perception in life. Not only was it empowering, but it put me in the driver's seat to realize that I could be my own guru and I could take responsibility for my health. And in the middle of that 2-year medicine wheel training, I was so curious about the Andean medicine way. And I was drawn to the 6-month training with the Light Body School with the Four Winds. And I learned how trauma gets trapped in our energy body, in our chakras. I learned how to identify which chakras blocked, how to release that trapped energy, and then how to fill that vortex. This is going to sound crazy and a little woo-woo. Fill that vortex with energy from my 8th chakra to help the individual that I'm working with help their energy body work with new energy, new information, so their journey can be more whole and lead them to healing.
I think that most people have probably heard of chakras,
yeah,
but don't necessarily know what they are. And most of us have heard of seven chakras, but not more. Can you explain to us what the different chakras are and how do they affect who we are?
Yeah.
What difference does it make in terms of our chakras,
yeah,
and our health?
So our energy, our thoughts, our body, it's all movement, right? Our emotions, it's all meant to flow. And when our energy gets trapped, I should back up and say, chakra in the Sanskrit tradition means wheel or circle. And chakras have been around for thousands of years. This goes back to India and Ayurvedic medicine. When the chakras get blocked, we experience different challenges in our health, in our life. Like the root chakra, right at the base of our spine, that helps us stay rooted and connected to the earth. If that's blocked, we may feel ungrounded. We may feel like we have no connection to the earth. If our heart chakra is blocked, we may not be able to hear the information that our heart needs us to know. We may not be able to hear that voice of intuition. I think what happened with cancer is it broke my heart open, and I let that happen. I let cancer smooth my rough edges, right? And I let it reshape me. I realized that we all know exactly what we need to do. When we trust our own inner guidance, we can become our own inner authority. We can let the universe or God or spirit or whatever you want to call it guide us to whatever it is that we need to heal. Over the last 5 years, I felt like I was on a scavenger hunt with the universe. Initially, I was seeing a gal for acupuncture, and I felt this nudge to go see somebody else. You know, I resisted. And then when I finally did, this other person that I connected with, this other acupuncturist, just opened the door to these other women. And I found myself stepping into my power through these different connections that I was finding through the scavenger hunt that's been my journey.
So you're doing this work as right now yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still doing the work. And Shasha, we all are. As long as we're here, we'll be doing our work.
So healing is not like, oops, I got through that. Now I go back to what I was doing before.
Yeah, I've had to change my lifestyle, my habits.
And what is your work like with other people?
Surprisingly intimate. I find myself wearing many hats. It's a dance between energy medicine practitioner, almost a counselor, you know, in a way, just being a friend and being a sacred witness for the individual that I'm working with, holding space for their healing. You know, I've been working on myself so that I can be a mirror for the person that I'm working with. So I'm no longer projecting my historical drama, my historical trauma onto the person, but I can be a mirror and witness whatever's coming up for the individual that I'm working with, so I can be there present, in a present space for them.
It's kind of scary to be vulnerable, to be able to do that work. How do you create a safe space for folks to be able to let go in that way?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm working with a lot of what I like to call special forces. I create sacred space in my office. I learned how to work with the four winds through my training with Coco and with the four winds working with the south, the west, the east, the north, and the archetypes that go with each direction. In the south, it's the serpent, and the serpent helps us shed the skin of the past as an act of power and love so we can walk in beauty and see the beauty that's around us. The west is about connecting with the jaguar and fearlessness, integrity, knowing the way across the rainbow bridge while we're here in this body. So when it's time to leave, we know where to go. The north is represented by the hummingbird, which represents sweetness and play, and also the ancestors, working with the ancestors, which I've learned from my studies with Thomas Hubel, our ancestors live behind us, at our back. And when we honor the gifts of our ancestors, they actually become like a force pushing us forward because they're behind us. And then in the east, that's represented by the eagle and the condor. And that represents rising above the mundane to see the bigger picture, to see a higher perspective from a higher vantage point. And then also honoring Pachamama, our great mother, Mother Earth. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for her. We are organs of the earth. When we fully start to connect to that realization, something changes in the way that we live. At least it has for me. Also connecting with Great Spirit, Father Sky, Grandfather Sun, Grandmother Moon, the stars, the sacred mountains. I also work with Kuan Yin, the mother goddess of compassion and love, Bast, the Egyptian cat goddess. I work with these forces every day. I call them in and I create a sacred space.
Even if people aren't familiar with it and are a little skeemish about doing that work, you don't have to be experienced in this work to...
No. This is something I do behind the scenes before a client would come, is I would create that sacred space. I would call in these special forces, if you will, before the client arrives. They're kind of there in place already.
And when they come, even though I don't know what to expect and I'm a little skittish about this work, what do I have to do in order to have this experience?
Really, it's for the individual coming for healing, it's about identifying whatever issue it is that's being addressed. The person may say, well, what is coming up for me today is, you know, and then they'll share with me whatever issue is present for them today. And I have a sand painting there. If the individual, whether they want to verbalize their issue or not, that's also an option. I don't have to know what the issue is because we're working energetically. The individual can play with the sand painting. So I have a bowl with sand, and then I have some rocks, some crystals, a rake, and the person can play in the sand with the rocks and create like a piece of art, if you will. And kind of work with the issue energetically before we even start our work play, if you will.
And then things just kind of flow organically the way that it can and it should. And I am presuming that in this process that our bodies are talking as well to us. And releasing those things that don't serve us anymore?
Right. It's really through the breath. I have some medicine stones that I work with. I have a mesa that I created through the energy medicine training. And so the individual then picks a stone from my mesa, and we use that stone. That works like a magnet. Once I identify which chakra is blocked, I'll place the stone on that individual's body, and it works like a magnet to pull out that heavy trapped energy from that individual's body. And I also use feathers, and there's a couple of places in the occipital ridge that I'll hold, cradle the person's head in my hands, and press those different points to help the energy release as well. And then I'll encourage the individual to breathe, because that's where our power is in the breath. When we intentionally breathe with the intention to release, magic can really happen. I'll tell you, I've had 4 in-person sessions now at our new home in my new office, and 2 out of those 4 sessions, Kinshasa, soul retrieval has happened for the people I'm working with without my needing to do a separate journey to go retrieve that person's soul, which is really interesting. And I messaged my counselor about that. She said, that's because I'm holding those points in the occipital ridge. And when you do that, that creates space for magic and healing to happen. Because we're actually retrieving those lost bits of soul energy, those fragments of soul energy. They're getting reclaimed by the individual.
Support for KFAI comes from the Parkway Theater, presenting Chuck Prophet and his Cumbia Shoes Wednesday, July 9th.
Bouncing back from stage 4 lymphoma, Chuck Prophet returns with his new album, Wake the Dead. Poetic Justice magazine says the album dances between the shadows of mortality and the light of the joy of living.
It's an exploration of the traditions of cumbia, mixed with dashes of reggae punk, Cajun, and roots rock. Wake the Dead is a statement of positivity in the face of darkness.
More information about Chuck Prophet and his Cumbia Shoes at the Parkway is available at theparkwaytheater.com.
We are continuing our conversation with Lynette. We're talking about soul retrieval and what that means and how to do that.
In psychology, it's called disassociation. And that's what happens as a result of trauma. We disassociate. Our psyche fragments, it splits. And a piece of us gets trapped in space and time. And if we have multiple adverse events that happen, especially in our inner childhood, little bits of our essential energy is trapped. And it's not available to us in the present time. But when we retrieve those bits, then we actually become more whole and we can become more embodied. We can become more present in our bodies, in our lives, in our emotions, in our thoughts, see the connections, see the patterns, and start to make better choices.
And when we're retrieving these lost part of ourselves, can we feel it? Can we feel it reuniting with ourselves?
Some people can. Yeah. Yeah. I had, we did like a dozen soul retrievals in that training that I did, you know, on each other in my cohort. Yeah. With each part, it was like, it was almost like I had access to a new personality, a new piece of my being that I didn't even know existed. And I've come to realize that we are multidimensional beings. We don't talk about that. That's not part of our education in school. Soul retrieval is so incredible. I worked with a gal, it must have been in 2022. It was before I did the studies with Coco. And so that was like something I did separately. I mean, that is something you can do separately, but I've actually had soul retrieval happen from doing the energy work without even intending that as a separate practice, which is really interesting.
Do you have to be at a certain point in your spiritual or emotional development in order for that to happen?
Kinshasa, that's a great question. I don't know that I know the answer to that, but I wonder if it's the individual, if it's where they're at in their journey. Maybe they're ready for those pieces to come back. I'm holding space in the highest integrity for the individuals, for their soul's journey, for their healing. It's hard to know if it's on my end or if it's on the individual's end. Maybe I'll start to get a better sense as I work with more people.
There's so many different parts of us. In the healing work that you have been doing, are you noticing healing within yourself?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've really been working on those, what I would call, you know, the beliefs, the programs we all have. There's a great book out there, Untamed by Glennon Doyle. That book really set me free.
Why?
Because I realized as a woman, as a girl, society puts us in these boxes. You know, we have to behave a certain way. We have to be perfect. You know, boys are encouraged to be bold and take risks. And girls are encouraged to play safe and be quiet. I had to shake all that off. I had to realize that I can be my own authority. I don't have to listen to the media, to the marketers. I'm perfect just the way I am. You know, I don't have to go get my hair done and put on a whole bunch of makeup to look pretty. We're perfect just the way we are, but we're told so many things by the media, by our school systems, by the people trying to take care of us that have good intentions.
Let our listeners know how they can connect with you.
I am on most of the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Healingwithannette.org is my website, so they can send me a message through there. If people want to connect with me right away, they could send me an email, info@healingwithannette.org. I'd love to hear people's stories and learn if there's a way that I can support individuals on their healing journey.
Many people who have cancer kind of keep it secret and silent and hold it within. Why has it been important for you to share your journey with the world?
Yeah, I was quite silent for quite some time. It's only in the last few months that I've really gotten serious about posting on social media to get the message out there in all these different ways that we can heal. I think that tendency to isolate is actually a coping mechanism. I tried to do it myself. I think I even tried to tell my husband to go away, but he loved me so much. He's like, no, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I did. I tried to push him away. My mother had a very dear friend that woman didn't want anyone in that community to know that she had cancer. And she died alone because of it. But for me, because I've been so open about my journey, I have found just a whole world of support and community. I'm a transplant from Wisconsin, right? I didn't make any friends here in Minnesota until I had cancer. I owe a lot of my community to cancer. I think when we're open about our health challenges, we create that space for the other individual to share what their struggles are. And then we can be of support for each other, even if we're not counselors. And that's really what it's all about. In this time of division, I'm making friends because I'm finding those soul connections. I'm following that nudge. I'm listening to that voice within. Yeah. When I heard you speak at, that was the Minnesota Holistic Nurses Group, I believe, I felt this heart connection with you, Kinshasa, and I knew I was going to have to come see you, even though I was very resistant to the colonic therapy that you offer, because I had these preconceived notions about what it would be like. And working with you, I felt so safe and so supported, and it was not at all what I expected it to be. You bring such grace and wisdom to the process. It's really remarkable what you do.
As are you.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate your work very much, and clearly the world needs what it is that you have to offer. We've been talking this evening on Health Notes with Annette Hennekins-Sklenar. Go to healingwithannette.org. Go to healingwithannette.org. And thank you so much, Annette, for sharing your wisdom with us.
Oh, thank you, Kinshasa. It's really an honor to be here with you today.
Three. you're so fine and free in blue and in green like leaves on endless trees. I went out at night alone. The young blood flowing beyond the sea seemed to have drenched my spirit's wings. I bore my sorrow heavily. But when I lifted up my head from shadows shaking on the snow, I saw Orion in the east burn steadily as long ago. From windows in my father's house, dreaming my dreams on winter nights, I
watched Orion as a boy above another city's lights. Years ago, dreams ago, and youth goes to the world's heart breaks beneath its wars. All things are changed, save in the east, the faithful beauty of the stars. All things are changed. All things are changed. Save in the east, the faithful beauty of the stars. So come
was Kurt Elling, Endless Lawn. I want to thank you for listening this evening to Health Notes, and I want to thank Annette again for sharing her story with us and the subsequent work that she's doing now to help us all with our healing. I think that that's what it's about. Annette talked earlier about divisions, and I believe that our work is to notice the division, notice the things that are going on the outside, but not let their loss get inside of us. Annette kept talking about agency. We have to have our own agency within ourselves. Understand that we're the expert on ourselves, that we are that inner healer. Our bodies, our minds, our spirits know how to do this. We need only know and trust this to be true for ourselves. And the only way that we can know that is by taking that step into that journey of healing as Annette has. And so I want to remind you to connect with Annette. And I love that soul retrieval piece, and maybe experience that soul retrieval. Go to healingwithannette.com and you can find Healing with Annette on all of the social media as well. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next Monday at 7 p.m.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org.